I'm in Psalm 56 is where I'm at this morning. Psalm 56. And thinking about it, even throughout our prayer requests this morning and praises and thinking all that is that takes place in our world today, all that's even taken place just in the last week, an attempted assassination of a former president, and then you have all who's at fault, who's not at fault, all the conspiracy theories, and I say I need to get a whole new set of conspiracy theories because all my old ones have come true. But all the things that take place in our environment, in our world today, laws that are being put in place that are going to affect really children that are in school they're not for Christ. That are happening. Our children are being attacked in that sense, and everything that takes place brings a considerable amount of stress and fear and anxiety, and that's what we're going to address this morning. So in Psalm 56, if you just join with me as we read this, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they have waited to take my life because of wickedness. Cast them forth in anger. Put down the people, O God. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle, and they are not in your book. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me, in God whose word I praise. In the Lord whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living." Father, again, open your word and give us wisdom and guidance as we look through this. So here we have this song that David is singing, or that he wrote. And the background of this particular passage is believed to take place back in 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through 15. And I'm just going to read them to you here to kind of help us with really what's going on in David's life. In 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15, "Then David arose," and this is his time that he was fleeing from Saul, because Saul was trying to kill him. "And then David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? David took these words to heart and greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. Then he disguised his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate and let his saliva run down into his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Behold, you see the man behaving as a madman? Why do you bring him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this one to act as the madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house?'" You know, it's hard not to kind of smile when you get to that part. Do I need one more crazy person around me? You know, but here we have this psalm, and it's in my header of mine in Psalm 56. It calls it a miktam, and it's believed these a miktam psalm, and from 56 to 60, they have those particular titles associated with them. And it's believed that this word really means that it's permanent, it's an unmovable statement, or steadfast, or an endearing word from the Lord. And all of all of these psalms here from 56 to 60, and we know that there's other ones, they have these prophetic undertones to them. And it's giving us really between the historical David, you know, David's experiences that's taken place, the prophetical ones, Israel's experience that's going to take place in the future, and it also is really a message for us today. And I would say that as we read all of the Psalms, we can gather messages that for all of us today, that really speak to all of our hearts today. And it's believed that this song is set to the tune of A Silent Dove Far Away. And we notice in the previous psalm, in Psalm 55, verse 6, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." And you think here, David, at this moment, that he is surrounded by his enemies, and I imagine he wished at that moment I could just fly away, you know. And through it all, God delivered David in this moment. Several years ago, and my son's a police officer down in Lewiston, Idaho, and he was a police officer and a tribal police officer on the reservation in Idaho for a number of years. And he had an incident one time where he was in tribal housing and he was making an arrest, and everything went sideways. And before it was all over with, he goes, "I had my gun in my one hand and my taser in the other, and I'm trying to get a prisoner to the," and he says, "all I could think about was I just need to get to the cruiser." And God brought him through that. You know, he made it. And you think of the fear that takes place in that moment, and we all need to realize that fear is a reality. You know, the Bible contains 366 references to fear. We got 366, one for every day of the year, plus a bonus for a leap year thrown in there. And I don't know of anyone who has not experienced fear at some time in their life. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that if anyone who says they've never experienced fear, I imagine they shouldn't be trusted about anything else. You know, because even a Medal of Honor recipients, as they tell their story, they would say that they were afraid what they did, they were afraid when they did what they did to really earn that merit or that tribute to them. And when you think about it, some of God's choicest servants experienced fear. You know, when you think of David, you know, David, he's killed a giant. He's fought numerous battles, really, to unify the nation of Israel. And here we find him in this story right here that he's afraid. And when you think about it, we start to grasp really the size and scope of the situation that David's in. Elijah stood up against King Ahab. He called down fire from heaven. 450 prophets of Baal died that day. And yet he runs like a rabbit when he hears Jezebel's threats. We have Moses. He fled to Egypt, and it says there because he feared the wrath of the king. Gideon, he's a man that just constantly had to be reassured of God's presence because he was afraid. And the list, it goes on and on. And fear, with fear, it has its regularity to it, you know. But we're afraid more often than we're not, it seems like. And I can honestly say that I personally experience fear. You know, whether it's a physical health fear or a financial work fear or family relationship fears. And there's so many fears and phobias and I'd say there's probably as many as there are stars in the sky. You know, we have fears of spiders, you know, and then they've got all the big names, and I thought, well, I'll just quote all the big names to you this morning, you know, and I'd mess them all up. But we've got the fears of spiders and snakes and heights and crowded spaces, and not only crowded spaces, but where there's fear of confined spaces, and so many fears. And now 2024, they've come up with a whole new list of the top 10 fears. Fears of our government officials, fears of economic breakdown, fear of, you know, Russia nuclear invasion, fear of another world war, fear of of biological warfare, fear of cyber attacks, which just happened just recently. All of these fears. And fears have a reaction because fear makes people do some all kinds of crazy things. You know, I can remember jumping off an extension ladder, cleaning out my grandfather's gutter one time because I was afraid of getting stung by a bee. And how many of you would not swim in a body of water you could not see the bottom of after watching the movie Jaws? You know, none of you. What is it that makes us afraid? Well, for some of us, what makes us afraid is really our deeds. You know, oftentimes we're afraid of because of what we've done. Such was the case of Adam and Eve. You know, they were afraid of being really and having the exposure of punishment, and it made them afraid. Genesis 3:10. You know, he, Adam, said that I heard you in the garden and I was what? Afraid because I was naked, so I hid. You know, Martin Luther, he made a comment and an observation about fear, and he said, God and the devil take opposite tactics in regard to fear. The Lord first allows us to become afraid that he might relieve our fears and comfort us. The devil, on the other hand, first makes us feel secure in our pride and sins that we might later be overwhelmed with fear and despair. You know, in the construction world, I can take a 2x6 and lay it on the ground, and we all would probably walk across that and say, no problem, I could do this all day. Well, let's take that 2x6 and raise it 8 feet in the air. And how scary is it? And it just gets scarier and scarier the higher it is. You know, what else makes us afraid? Well, sometimes it's our dangers. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, Paul, he tells the reader here that while he's on all these frequent journeys, I face dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own men, own people or countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, and dangers among false brothers. You know, 5-year-old Johnny, his mom asked him to go into the pantry and get out a can of tomato soup for supper. And Johnny didn't want to do it because he told his mom, he goes, I don't want to go in there because it's dark in there. So his mom keeps persistent, you know, trying to nudge him to go in there and do that. And finally she got the idea. She says, it'll be okay, Johnny. Jesus will be in there with you. And so he starts to go in, but he stops short of going in there, and he has an idea. He goes, Jesus, if you're in there, could you hand me that can of tomato soup? You know, fear. We also become afraid of our own death. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, says, therefore, since the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And so here we have really the same answer then becomes in Hebrews becomes the same answer that happens with David. If you look up one verse there, verse 13, and it says in verse 13 of that Hebrews 2, I will put my trust in him. And back in that Psalm 56, we have, I will trust in you. In verse 3, I will put my trust in you. And when you think of trust and what happens there, trust, along with what that word really represents, is there's with trust, there comes a decisiveness, or the I will. I will, it tells us there in Scripture, I will. And there comes a time when we must decide really who and what we will place our trust in. You know, a couple weeks ago there at Camp Elohim, it was Jesus Kids, and we were getting ready to go from one activity to another, and some of the kids are, obviously they're kids, it's like herding cats, they're running around, and there was one of the small girl, Annie, was on top of that big boulder. If you're at Camp Elohim, she's on that big boulder, and Debbie walks over, and she goes, okay, let's go over to the next activity, and Annie just throws herself off of that rock into Debbie's arms. I mean, without even like, let's go, you know, there you go. When it comes to trust, there's that sometimes it really happens early on, no problem. And other times, unfortunately, it happens when we get to the end of our rope. You know, I'll pick on the gathering place, in a sense, because sometimes, you know, some people's bottom is here, others are here, and sometimes your bottom is so far down, the only place you can look is up. You know, it's different for each one. You know, at the end of World War II, the Japanese government faced a similar problem, because at the end of World War II, the treaty was signed with the United States, the war was over, and yet there was thousands of Japanese soldiers that were hiding out on these islands and mountains of the South Pacific. And they wouldn't come out. They were afraid because of all the stories they heard about what the Americans would do to them if they were captured. So they wouldn't surrender. They wouldn't turn in their weapons. All these guys are still out in the jungle. So they got the idea, and they had the emperor give a speech telling them about the war being over, all that took place, and then they would just blast it into the jungles. Well, over the course of a few months, the soldiers started coming out of the jungle. Well, they thought after several years of that, they thought all of the soldiers had been accounted for, and those that weren't accounted for, they thought that, well, they must have, you know, that were missing, were killed or that type of thing. And it wasn't until 1974 that one of the soldiers, these Japanese soldiers, came out of the jungle after 29 years of hiding in the jungle. And they asked him, well, why'd you stay out there so long? It's because he was afraid. He was afraid what they'd do with him at that point. So for 29 years of hiding, he was fearing an enemy, and the enemy was in his mind. And can you imagine being held captive for 29 years, and you're imprisoned, and you're imprisoned not by some invading army, you're not imprisoned by some dictator, but you're being held captive really by the fear that's within your own mind. And many people today, they're held captive by the fear within their mind. And so with trust also, there comes not only the I will in that, is there has to be this dependence on trust. Trust and faith, as we see in Scripture, they're synonymous. They're interchangeable words in Scripture for us. You know, scratched on the walls of a Nazi prison camp were these words: I believe in the sun even when it doesn't shine, I believe in love even when it's not expressed, and I believe in God even when he's silent. And with trust, there is deliverance. I will put my trust in you. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. We briefly looked at that one last week. And in verse 8 in that Psalm 56 says, you have taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle, and are they not in your book? You know, this idea of these tears in the bottle, it dates back 3,000 years at Roman times. When someone would pass away or die, they would collect tears and they would put it with that deceased person. And also while people were mourning, they would collect tears. And when the tears had evaporated, then the mourning time was over. And it was to show how much that person was loved in that. And so here, Psalm 56:8, it's referring to a belief that God keeps a record of human pain and suffering, and that he always remembers sorrow. Are they not in your book, we're told? God is not absent from grief. He's not absent in our fears. Now, have you ever been so afraid that it brought you to tears? Well, I have. You know, there's moments like that. And that's probably, I would say, true for all of us. That it's a powerful emotion, if not maybe one of the most powerful emotions that we as humans have. In fact, it's so powerful, we talk about people that have been frightened to death. You know, some people really have been. In fact, there's actually cases where people have been charged with murder for scaring somebody to death. You know, Psalm 55:18, "And he will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for they are many who strive with me." Some translations have this, that there are many against me. You know, again, we find David many times, his enemies all around him. And can you have fear and faith at the same time? You know, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, we're told here that there's no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear. When you think about love as something that drives out fear, it does that. But I think you can still have faith and still be afraid. You know, I think that's where we derive things from, courage. I can remember times just going into a situation, no, I've got to go in there, and my legs are walking into it, and my brain's thinking, this is a bad idea. You know, it's that way. What do we put our trust in? And probably the better question is this, is who do we put our trust in? You know, Chip, our dog, and you've seen him, he's the size of a rat, he is Debbie's dog. Everything about him is, now she goes to camp, and he'll, by day two, he's starting to warm up to me because I'm all he's got. But he is Debbie's dog. So much so, and even like yesterday, somebody stopped at the house, and she's outside the house. And Chip hears her voice. He doesn't know what's on the other side of that door. But what he does know is his master's is on the other side of that door. And that's good enough for him, because he'll just bolt right out there no matter where she's at. Now, I don't know really what's on the other side of death. We've got scripture and what we can read, but nobody can tell us what it is because nobody's experienced it, and I don't believe that you can die and come back and tell me all about it. You know, so I don't really fully know what's on the other side of death. But I know one thing, is that I know my master's there, and that's good enough for me. And when the door opens up and I pass through, I'm going to go through with gladness and not have that fear. So how do we overcome fear? Well, the answer is to have faith in God. Because faith really is truly the opposite. It's it's really the only antidote that we have to fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Isaiah 35:4, "Say to those with an anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you." It's to have faith in God. I'm going to close with Matthew 6, hopefully a familiar passage to all of us here. Matthew 6, I'm going to start with verse 25. For this reason, Jesus speaking, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Boy, I can agree with that. You know, never alone are the children of God. His children. And your cries, you'll never forget. And for each one of us to wait on the Lord, to trust his word, to be patient, to have faith, and you trust him and you have faith in your pain, and he's in your sorrow, your grief, your tears, and to cast all your anxiety on him because he does care for you. Father, we do give you the praise and glory. And Lord, I know that it can be real easy to say these things, and then how do we put them into action? That we, all the things that we face each day, all the stress and anxiety, and then all that we see in the news, and we have fear and stress and anxiety. Lord, help us to fully put our trust in you. Move upon us, and that we know that. Lord, I lift up the spotlight this morning from the gathering place, and again, dealing with men, and again, they're coming with a lot of baggage and anxiety and all that takes place in our world today. And Lord, I thank you that you've got a hold of them, you've drawn them to yourself, and again, that you would use this ministry mightily, use these men mightily, that you got so much more in store for them. And Father, this morning we give you all the praise and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.